Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome back to another special. I know you weren't expected to see me here.
Expert like, on women's football. No, what are you talking about?
You know what? Yeah, a little expert. Nah, I'm joking. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. Like, I'm actually just here to listen to Marva and Moyo talk the realness about the Euros. That's actually starting, when is it? Next week, Wednesday. And it will be criminal to not even come in here and kind of learn, especially with the people that actually watch us, and you're learning as you go along as well. So literally, I'm one of you today. I'm just here to ask the questions and listen to exactly what to expect with the Euros coming on. On top of that, we were in for a little treat. So we managed to secure a spot with the BBC. We managed to get conversation. Well, Moyo here managed to get some conversations with Pharrell Williams. She managed to get conversations with Reshmin. We managed to get some conversations with Pharrell Williams, Reshmin Chowdhury, a couple of influencers as well, and of course Alex Scott also. So without further ado, I guess I'm just gonna start with asking you both, what can I expect of this Euros? And let's hone in on the England squad in particular. What can I expect from the Euros? And kind of, what match should I be looking out for in the group stages?
Well, should I start? Mm-hmm. In terms of what we should be looking out for, what we can expect, I think it's going to be a really big tournament. I think for England in particular, I don't know if it's come a little bit too soon, just given that Serena's only been in there for not even really a year. I think if it had been another year, then I'd be a little bit more optimistic about their chances of winning the trophy. But still, I think it's a really exciting time. Just a great time to have it in England as well. I think it's going to be really big for women's football in England, which is amazing. In terms of what to look out for, games-wise, England versus Norway is going to be the one. I think that will be probably England's biggest test just generally over the last few years. I know we've played like Germany and Spain and Canada in the Arnold Clark Cup, but to play, I think as much as these tournaments are like, oh, friendly tournaments, but they're not really friendlies, like you're playing for something. Nah, like it's not until you play Euros, it's not until you play World Cup where you really get tested. Yeah. And Norway right now, I think it's a big test for them as well and where they're actually at with Hegerberg coming back for them. But that's going to be the game in England's group to watch out for 100%. Although I would say Austria.
Yeah.
Do not count them out. They have got some ballers. So I think it's going to be a good group. And then the other team is Northern Ireland, which obviously there's little bit of home territory.
They're kind of like new to
first big tournament for them, but they've got some players too, and obviously just the whole, you know, England versus Northern Ireland element to it. So yeah, it's a good group.
That's it, Moyo, if you can add anything to that.
I mean, Marva actually said it all, to be honest, but yeah, I'm excited for the Euros. I think exactly what Marva was saying, I think this has come half and half. I think if it was a year later, it would have been even better for England's chances. But I think in terms of right now and where women's football is, I think it has come at a good time for that. Mm-hmm. I think because of the broadcasting deals that happened last season and the fact that there were more eyes on the WSL specifically, I think this is the perfect time to use the Euros as a springboard. And I really want them to use it as a springboard to gain momentum into the new season as well. And then in terms of what we can expect from England, we can expect a lot of attacking depth. I'm not joking.
That's good, right?
Yeah. I'm not joking, and I'm not actually being biased here. I genuinely think when it comes to attacking depth, not an attacking player, when it comes to attacking depth, England have the best in the whole competition.
I feel like you're kind of putting a disclaimer there saying, we're not saying that we're going to have the highest goal scorer.
To be honest, yeah, I'm not saying we're going to have the highest goal scorer, but I expect the front line to score the attacking options. If you can't every goal that they score, yeah, expect them to be up there. Because in my opinion, when you're looking at everyone's bench and you're seeing who's on England's bench as an attacker, they start for most teams. And they're not necessarily starting for England.
Do you know what? I believe you, I do, but Marva.
But you know what I'm going to say? It's more that while I agree and I'm like, we've got so much depth and in that Netherlands friendly, I was like, oh my God, we throw on this. And it's like, we can change up the midfield free so easily to make it more attacking. I'm like, amazing, amazing. But it's more, you know, when you sometimes it's like that jack of all trades, kind of master of none. I feel like there's a little bit of that because there's so many young players, so many... And if they're not young, but just not like world class players, that there's a lot of like that just below that who aren't yet in that category, but are like a good and could cause problems. Don't get me wrong, but compared to like some of the other teams that just have world class talent, who are used to performing at the big stage, who are used to performing in finals and like big tournaments. You don't know what's going to happen until you play in those tournaments.
Yeah.
So like a Toon or like a Russo or whoever it might be, it's like, it's not until you play in those games. And some players just step up and they can do it. And it's like amazing. And this will be the tournament that defines them.
Yeah.
But even like Hemp, for example, like incredible player. Like she's had such a good season, but she's still young, hasn't played in a tournament like this.
Yeah, she hasn't been the starting player. Has she even gone to... I don't think she has gone to a major competition for England, you know?
And so you just...
So she's a baby.
She's 21.
Oh, she's actually a baby.
She's 21. Yeah.
So it's like you never... If you look back at the men's team, you think of like Rooney, you know, these big tournaments with pressure on them, and it's not until they get there, and sometimes they deliver and sometimes they don't. So there's a little bit of like... And there's just so many players for these different positions that sometimes you need... Sometimes it's too many.
I agree with that because I also think we've had this discussion at club level as well, because you know sometimes a player needs a run in the team or to get 90 minutes, for example, to sort of feel out the game. But because we've got so many options on the bench, sometimes it's like, I'm not gonna lie, this is not working by half time. I'm already looking at the 10,000 options I've got on the bench, and I'm thinking ... you're coming out.
Stop that. You're coming out.
But not on a hurtful thing. You can be back next game. That's what it's been like pretty much for England. Like even if you get subbed in this one game at half time, you could very much start the next game. It's not like once you're out, you're out.
So you're expecting, I'm guessing you're expecting a lot of rotation.
I think there were just a lot of players on a similar level in terms of like, not even if they're in a similar level in terms of like experience, but similar level in terms of pros and cons. Like if you look at like a Toon compared to like a Nikita Paris, like, I mean, I don't know if Paris is going to play, to be honest with you.
Will they, girl?
But she's got loads of experience, but isn't really in form.
Yeah.
And then you've got like Toon, Kelly, people like that who don't have much experience, but are in form.
Yeah.
And there are just so many players that just all have their kind of, pros but cons. And it's like, it's difficult to know who's really going to get the games, really.
That's a good point.
Speaking of like experience and stuff, so I'm guessing like we've got good attackers, but let's see who steps up in the big stage. But moving it away from England, are there any big game players that you think, okay, if England eventually get past the group stage and meet these players, it might be a little bit of a problem.
They're meeting the player in the group at Norway. Ada Hegerberg is
fair.
The goal. And she's in the front three with Wrighton and Graham Hansen.
Graham Hansen, yes.
Who, like, they are probably...
That front three's peak.
That's ridiculous.
Listen, this sounds like... I'm even scared.
That front three is top dangerous quality. Front three. The only reason I was even gassing up... Not the only reason I was gassing up England, but then you look at Norway's bench here.
That's the difference
between the two. Norway's bench and England's bench, they don't compare. But the problem is, Ada Hegerberg can get it done on her own. Like, Lucy Bronze said it, like, 2 days ago or 3 days ago, and she was like, oh, when I was at Lyon, like, the way Ada Hegerberg is, sometimes she'll just be like, put the ball in the box, I'll do the rest. She's on that's what she's on. She can do the things by herself.
No, but I've played in teams like that, where you're just like, you know what, I'll just pass to you.
Yeah,
like,
just pass it.
Doesn't matter where you are, I'll just pass to
this
you.
This sounds frightening. Yeah.
It's a good outlet to have, especially when things, like, for example, if it gets to the point that things aren't going their way, they know they've got someone that can make something out of nothing.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the difference between good players and world-class players, because she's very dependable. Mm. Very, very dependable.
Are there any other, like, players outside of England's group that you think, yeah, you are really dependable and your experience would be Spain. Key here?
Spain have some key players. Mm-hmm. Patelis, obviously. And then I just think players like Pina are just dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Germany have a lot of experience. Lots. Sweden actually have a lot of experience. Mm.
Netherlands obviously they didn't show it in the last game, but they've got it as well.
Yeah, like Miedemar can just turn up. If Miedemar turns up.
Yeah. And if Jill Ward decides to start attacking the box as much as she wants to,
yeah,
that's a problem again. Lika Martin's problem. She was causing England problems causing last problem. Week.
How does she win a header?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
She's like my height. Like, what's going on?
Crying, please, for everyone viewing or listening. Mother, how tall are you?
Mother's like 5'2". Maybe she's a bit taller. Okay, I can't lie. But
Mother's
still.
Trying to give herself some extra inches, I think.
On a good day.
Yeah.
I'm so done. Okay, so a 5'2" player.
Right, I don't think she's 5'2". Ball. Okay, basically, she's short compared to other players.
Yeah. Okay, so that sounds like something, again, to watch out for as we progress, but... Looking at, you know, not just the England team, just the entire perspective of the entire Euros, mm-hmm. I want two players, and I hope you guys don't fight over this, but I want two players from each of you that I should be on the lookout for. Two players.
Do you want it to be two players like that you'll definitely see? Yeah, or two players that are, like, obscure? That you may not have, if we don't tell you.
Or that are just, like, exciting, that, like, could do bits, but, like,
Would you both have two different answers for that? Give us both. Listen, that's what we want to hear. Give us both. So the obscure player and the one that you're definitely going to see. Who wants to go first?
I mean, like, Hegerberg is the player to watch. Pretty, yeah.
Everyone keeps talking about her.
I mean, she's a joke. Players to watch, have a few, and just like personal favourites as well. I really like Cool at Denmark.
Yeah.
I think she's young, so I'm not saying she's going to like light up the tournament and be like the best player, but she's just someone I love to watch. Every time I watch her, I think she's incredible. Who else? Harder.
Yeah.
I think could just show up. But they're in a difficult group, so I don't know if Denmark are going to progress necessarily.
Yeah. It's tough. Their group actually is tough.
Their group's the group of death for sure.
Yeah.
But then obviously, like, Hemp, I'm just so excited for. A lot of Spain players. There's a lot. I'm trying to think who else.
What about you, Moyo? So, like, obscure players and obviously, the players that are going to beat in our faces.
Yeah, Hegerberg is probably the one that's going to be in everyone's faces. On the obscure side, I'd say De Castillo, that plays for Spain. So during the Arnold Clark Cup, she didn't actually get called up in the beginning.
Okay.
Then there was an injury and then they called her up. And I feel like she has the one thing that Spain don't have, which is pace.
Yeah.
And like electric pace.
Was it against Canada?
She was killing them. The way Spain play is very, like, tiki-taka, classic Spain play.
Classic Spain.
And people keep saying that, like, the Barcelona team is basically the Spain team, but it's actually not, because the key thing that they're missing from the Barcelona team is pace on the wings.
Yeah.
And she's the only one that has pace on the wings. So I feel like she's going to be a good one to look out for, because she offers something different in the team while still having a high technical ceiling.
Joe, I actually love that, because you know me, I love a little bit of a tiki-taka football. So, like, hearing that there's going to be someone blistering on the wing.
Yeah, she's good. She's really good. And she's someone that, you know, like a classic winger, like, knock the ball down the touch, like, the touch and start.
Knock it then.
And start running.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, yeah. She's one of those.
Yeah.
We haven't even touched on France.
I was about to say Salma Basha. That was my other obscure one, Salma Basha.
Sister, boy, there's better talent.
There's a lot of talent.
Do you know what? There are so many, like I was saying about England in terms of like pros and cons, but I feel like that about teams. Like there are so many possible champions in this tournament. Yeah. It's just mad. Like,
oh, we're going to come to that. You guys are going to have to pick one for me. We're going to come for that.
Yeah. Salma Basha plays for Lyon. She's a fullback.
Yeah.
She's really young. Like, if you see her honours list, you won't think that she's a young player, but she's won
four Champions League.
Yeah, something very
similar. Like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And with the most recent Champions League, she was actually pivotal to the win. Mm. So she's someone that not only brings, you know, intensity, pace, electricity from the fullback position, but she's also actually very good defensively. Mm. And I feel like that's something that a lot of the time is sacrificed when it's a good attacking fullback, but she's actually very good on both ends of the pitch. So
I feel like I'm learning some things. Like, no, honestly, this is how I feel when you guys talk to me about women's football, because I don't know anything. Like, okay, I wouldn't say I don't know anything. I only hear bits and pieces. So seeing how excited you guys are, I'm just like, oh, these next few weeks are going to be exciting. But okay, so speaking to Laura George, Reshmin Chowdhury, Alex Scott, Samantha Miller and Nancy Baker, right? Mm-hmm. There's three players that were mentioned that both of you haven't mentioned. We'll start with Reshmin's choice, Lauren Hemp.
Yeah.
One to watch out for?
100%. 100%. Yeah, for England, she's the player to watch for England, I'd say.
Yeah. I feel like they're putting a bit of pressure on her, but she's trying to... How she is, personality-wise, she's very much like, she's playing it down. They're trying to give her pressure. And she's like, oh, yeah, like, I think it's going to be good for everyone. You know, like, it's one of those ones.
She's proper chilled about it and stuff?
Yeah.
That's good. That's
but I also think as much as we have that attacking depth, I don't think she's going to be subbed.
She ain't getting rotated, by the way.
Because
she
I think...
She better start preparing her legs.
Her quality is that, like, even in that Netherlands game, like, she didn't have, like, the best first half. She wasn't getting the ball that much. And then her quality in the second half, she just needs those few chances.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like, her actual technique is a joke. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think she'll just, like... I don't want to put loads of pressure on herself, but I'm like, she could be the difference for England to tournament, 100%.
And I feel like as well, she's a very good combination player, and that's why she doesn't really get rotated. You know, like some people are very good playing with a specific person.
People.
She's very good at playing with whoever else is in the front line, whoever's at number 10, like very much so. Like, she has a good partnership with all of them. And so I think she's going to be relied on a lot this tournament. Hopefully she can do what she needs to do.
And, you know, we're going to take you to find out exactly why Reshmin chose Lauren Hemp, because our good friend Moyo was speaking to her just a couple of weeks ago.
Who do you think is going to be the standout player of the tournament?
Well, there are a few who I think could be. I'm really excited to see Ada Hegerberg back on the international stage. But for me, Beth Mead comes a close second, because I love the season that she's had with Arsenal. I think she's just, this was her season, and I think she's proven what an incredible player she is. But I just think ahead of her, I think Lauren Hemp.
Yeah.
I always describe her, I always say she's Messi-esque. She's like a female version of Lionel Messi. She's incredible. The things she can do, the vision she has, the pass, the you know, everything, the creativity. I think she's an incredible player, and I think, you know, she's young as well. She's hungry, but she's really but she's grounded as well. If you hear her, she seems like such a lovely person as well. And I really, really hope that she has a brilliant tournament.
Same. Great chatting to you, Rishma.
You too.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, so coming back to it, Laura George mentioned Sandy Baltimore from France as well. I'd have no clue who Sandy Baltimore is, so you're going to need to break down to me, why would Laura George say Sandy Baltimore, and do you agree with her? Do you think that's a feasible option to be on the lookout for?
She has pace.
Lots of it.
Like, and I think that's where France are an odd one just generally, because... I mean, I'm sure we'll get onto it, but like the players they've missed out, like it's hard to know, but they've got some incredible, incredible attacking pace. Baltimore, Katoto, like they, Pete. Yeah, they, she's, and how old's Baltimore?
21.
20, Jesus, man, these young players. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she's definitely, she's going to cause problems.
So many 21-year-olds. I'm thinking, what was I doing at 21?
It makes you feel old, man.
I was chilling at 21 at home. I'm eating noodles or something.
Okay, not noodles.
Definitely eat noodles. Like, them ones just finished graduating. You're broke. 59B noodles. Go get that.
And she's tearing up. She's honestly really, really, really good. Like, she was one of the things that first got me interested in PSG's women's team. There was a goal that she scored against England. I can't remember when it was. It was, I think it was one friendly.
It was a friendly. Was it a 2-2? Yeah.
The ball was spinning, yeah. Like, she had no right to make a connection with that ball. The ball came to her off a clearance. So the ball's already reversed. The spin on the ball was so insane. She got her body over the ball, head over the ball. I'm telling you, she langed that shot,
And so much power on that shot.
I'm telling you, you would have been shot. Don't worry,
I was going to say, we'll find the clip. You'll be...
Once they send me the clip, I'm going to send it to y'all.
I'm going to tweet on the Gold Diggers page once it comes out.
I remember my mum was watching that game, actually, and she's not a big fan of football, and she was like, that's a good goal, right? I was like, yeah, that's a good goal.
Yeah, very good player. Very, very good player.
I guess we can imagine why Laura chose her. Laura also chose a couple of other people, but we'll hear from her right now about who she chose and why she chose them as well. Because again, our good friend Moyo had to sit down with Laura. But yeah.
And for you, looking at, for example, a lot of the players you have up front, so looking at Sandy Baltimore, Katoto, players like that, how do you think they're really going to implement and impose themselves in this team?
I feel like if they play with no pressure, like but just enjoying the game, I feel they will act being outstanding. But if they put too much pressure, because it's going to be their main event with the senior team. Katoto didn't play the Women's World Cup. Everybody's saying that she's the player to watch. Sandy Baltimore is talented. And I really hope they won't put too much pressure on themselves. But just say, let's go and have fun. Because those players already won titles.
Yeah.
Or they finished second or third in a big competition. I just hope that they bring their energy as young players, knowing that people are expecting them, but just saying, okay, we give you the best and no pressure. We're just going to show you and give you happiness because you will see some talent. This is what I hope for them.
And just to say as well, if you could mention two players that people should be excited about in this French women's national team. I know we've mentioned Sandy Baltimore already, but if you could just mention two people.
Two others. All right.
Yeah.
So, Selma Basha.
Yeah.
Selma Basha has been outstanding.
Electric.
Oh, wow. Yeah. She seems like she has been in the national team, as I say, more than 5 years. She's stepping on the field like a grown woman who has so much experience, because she doesn't has like so much like questioning. She's just playing, do her best, do what she's able to do. I'm looking forward to see Delphine Cascarino. Everybody knows her technique, but in big tournaments, she missed the last Euros. She had the ACL. This year she has been good in team, in the team, national, in but in Champions League, kind of shy. In the Champions League, in the national team, she's been kind of shy this year. But I really want her to show all her talent. She's so talented. And it's not just about technique, fast. She's technique. She knows how to dribble. We will need her. I hope she shows her best self.
And another player mentioned by Samantha Miller was Beth Mead. Right, I hear Beth Mead, Beth Mead's name everywhere. But obviously you said Lauren Hemp, but where does Beth Mead stand for
I
you?
Think Mead is like almost second, depending on
very,
what
a very
Kirby
close
does.
Second.
But Mead's been around for a little while, but this season she's just like, she's taken her game up from being like a good winger to being such a productive, productive forward who can just, she got the goals, she got the assists in the friendly the other week, came on, changed the game. She did that against Northern Ireland in the World Cup qualifiers as well. She's just like, she's just stepped up her game. I think she should start. I think over Kelly for me. She's just really stepped up. Hopefully she'll have a really good tournament because she could be vital to us as well.
Cool. I agree with what Mamba said. I think she was always good. She was always doing good stuff on the pitch, but sometimes the good stuff wasn't translating to goals and assists.
Yeah.
And I feel like now she's found the balance between doing good stuff on the pitch and getting goals and assists,
yeah.
Especially at crucial moments. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the time, it feels like when England have been looking for a goal and the striker's not really getting any service, Beth Mead's the one that pops up with a goal.
Yeah.
And I think it's because she's such a fluid forward. She pretty much pops up everywhere in the box.
I mean, they could play her through the middle, like if they needed to. I mean, they won't need to.
Said she's been thinking about it, but like, she said she's been thinking about it. They've not tried it yet, but it's definitely something they've been thinking about.
I think in like if it was like a knockout game and in the last 10 minutes and you were just chucking on like your attackers
and you wanted another winger,
you could definitely put her through the middle as an option in the last 10 minutes, or whatever it is.
Okay. Yeah, I think she'd be a good option when what Marva's saying, or when like the centre backs that they're coming up against are also big and powerful, because then you need someone crafty as opposed to someone that's big and powerful as well. So that's just, do you know what I mean?
It'll just be like just a clash of players. What's the point?
You need something to like distinguish between yourself and the defenders.
Honestly, I hope everyone listening who's a neutral like myself have learned so much, because there are so many players that I think I'm going to have to be looking out for. Every time I'm watching a Euros match, I'm going to be like, oh, Moya said that. Oh, Moya said something about her too. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's really nice to have to sit down with you too. I feel like I'm with two celebrities. No, honestly.
You ain't.
Moya, after meeting all these celebrities,
Do not mind her. And I'll tell you guys a little secret. It could have been Marva, but Marva chose to go to Greece.
But look at my tan.
Tan's looking good. I can't even lie. It's looking good. But okay, we're gonna go to something a little bit more serious. Hopefully it doesn't dampen the mood stuff. It's more just talking about the visibility of women's football. And obviously you see a football fan neutral here like me, right? And I haven't had that visibility to women's football until, like, I'd say this season, where they really started showing the WSL a lot more. But how important is it that, you know, the BBC have taken on the Women's Euros this year and said, OK, we're going to put it in your faces, kind of. Just in comparison to the last World Cup and then the Euros before that, what are the differences and how important has this change been?
So I just can't wait for the, like, why are they shoving it down my throat comments. It's like, it's just on BBC One. You can change the channel. It's not that deep.
It's often.
No, it's massively significant. I just think the more visibility there is, like, the more viewership there is. It's just always the case. As much as people are like, oh, I don't know if I want to watch it, blah, blah, blah. But the moment you show it, there's viewership. If you look at the Champions League coverage this year, it was just on YouTube. I'm a big fan of women's football. I've barely ever watched women's Champions League games because sometimes they're on it like in the day, they're not even on,
like 2 p.m.
When I'm at work,
literally, it's so difficult. But now it's just there, and even if the times are bad, but it's on YouTube, free to watch. And you were getting 100,000 people watching these live streams.
And that different was streams.
It was in Spanish, it was in English. Yeah. So it's like, when it's there, people will watch it. And I've always, anecdote I always use is that, like, in the Olympics, I remember there was one time they were showing, it was just like a women's hockey final. I've never watched hockey in my life. I've never played hockey in my life. But it just happened to be on at prime time because England were in the final. Yeah. And it was a sick game. Like I said, I don't know anything about hockey, but you just watch it because it's like, oh, this is amazing. And there's a big game happening. So the more you show that, it doesn't matter if you're a big women's football fan, even if you're a big football fan or a big women's sports fan, if it's on, people will watch it. And that's going to be the defining moment of this. And I think it's so great that they've got coverage. And I think it's about stepping up that coverage as well, because I feel like in previous years and of tournaments, it's been like, yeah, we'll show the game. And then at halftime, you know, like when they're showing like Olympic stuff and it just goes to like
BBC News.
Not even that, or just like some like stock photo like some lift music in the background for half time.
It's literally like, what is going on?
And you're like, and then
50 minutes later, it's like, and we're back with the second half. And it's like, nah, like we need the actual coverage where you're talking about the players, you're talking about the tactics. That's the only way people are gonna start to connect with these players and connect with the big names of the game.
I think exactly what Marva was saying. And the fact that, like, throughout the league season, because we were getting, you know, like those little snippets that happen before a game, when it's like, oh, this week we sat down with Ella Toon before her match with this person, and you don't realize, but subconsciously you start buying into the, like, the people whose stories you like, you start buying into them subconsciously. So when you see them in a match the next time, you're like, oh, I know that player. Like sometimes my sister's walking through the living room and she's like, Ella Toon. But I promise you, like, if you ask her to name you 25 players, she wouldn't be able to. But because she knows Ella Toon or Alessia Russo, when she sees a match on and they're there, and then she's like, oh, let me watch.
Quick question for you, Maya. Is does she know Ella Toon because of that or because of you? Yeah, because you love Ella Toon.
Maybe.
I know who Ella Toon is because of Moyo.
Listen, I'm just trying to spread the gospel.
Honestly, and that's visibility.
And that is visibility. No, honestly. And I think also little stuff that like, that you also don't realise. You know when someone posts like a clip, for example, of Chloe Kelly doing some crazy skills and it goes on the TL and loads of people retweet, even people that don't necessarily watch women's football. And then they start saying stuff like, let's say a match is on, someone will tweet something like, someone tweeted the other day saying, oh, it's Chloe Kelly playing. And I promise you, this person doesn't watch women's football. But because they know of that video and they see Chloe Kelly as somebody who is technically very good on a normal basis, not technically good for a woman, just technically good, they're like, oh, let me watch. Let me see if she's good when she's playing as well, not just clips and stuff like that. Do you get what I mean? But I think visibility, just like people actively talking about it. Because I remember when I first started watching women's football, when it wasn't on TV and I was watching it on FA Player, like, you would just talk about it to the people that you knew also watched women's football. Like, I wouldn't necessarily tweet about it. But I'd just be talking about it, like, on like in DMs or in, like, on WhatsApp, that sort of thing. But now, because I'm, like, talking about it on the timeline, or Marva's talking about it on the timeline, this person's talking about it on the timeline, and people are having conversations, then you're like, oh, what are these lot watching?
Let me
go and see what they're watching. Let me see what they're talking about. But, yeah, that sort of thing. I think it has, like, what do they call it?
It's like a snowball effect.
Precisely that.
Balls on the ball.
I feel like we're very simpatico right
honestly,
now.
Honestly, I'm loving it.
Do you know
it.
What I that? It's like people underestimate how many other people watch it as well. Like, because it's so hard to get that much research and stuff like that about women's football, especially international football. Like, the way I often do it is just watch, like, on YouTube you can find, like, the full games of international friendlies and stuff like that. And so it'll be, like, I'm there because I'm researching for work. I'm there watching, like, I don't know, Northern Ireland versus Austria, or, like, Denmark versus Azerbaijan, or, like, something like that. And I'm seeing, like, it says, like, 19,000 views, and this is, like, a two-hour YouTube video. Crazy. So I'm like, that's mad that there are that many people. I thought it was like me and like two other people. Who else is watching Denmark, Azerbaijan? Like, what the hell? But people are, like, it's mad. So as much as, you know, you get the, oh, who cares about women's football and all of that, but I'm like,
19,000 people.
19,000 people. Minimum. You know, watching some international friendly, like, just on the full thing on YouTube, which is mad. So it's only going to grow and, like, in terms of the negativity and all that side of things, I think a lot of people who are involved in women's football have just really gotten to the stage where I actually don't care. Like, whatever. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it.
No one's forcing
it's
you.
It's not that deep. In this day and age where you have your phone, you have many channels. It's not like you've only got three channels on TV.
Bam!
You can switch it. Like, it's not that deep. So all I care about is that, like, and I've said this on the pod before, it's like, however many years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, this didn't exist. Like, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, this did not exist in any way. So when I was there watching the World Cup in France, and I was there, I was just watched, like, the stadium wasn't full. But I was like, ah, like, this is actually happening. We actually have a full women's World Cup, because 30 years ago, that wasn't a possibility for women. So it's just, we have to recognise where we are, and it is still growth, it is still a journey, but it is growing, and it's like, people love it. So all I care about is I want to watch these players.
Period.
That's, I'm going to watch it. Sick.
Period. were you going to say something, or was that?
No, that covered covered everything.
Oh,
no,
you guys are in sync.
We are in sync. We are in sync, to be honest. Yeah, that's all good.
Yeah. So obviously it's in England. The final is gonna be at Wembley.
Yes.
That's pretty all right, ain't it? You know,
not too shabby.
Hopefully anyone listening to this could get us a few tickets to the final.
Maybe to all of them, even.
Maybe to all of them, you know.
But final definitely.
You know, semi-final too.
I think I actually have some spares for the final, guys. I'll let you know.
Marv the plug, everybody.
Let's not talk too crazy on the pod before people think we've got something we ain't. We haven't got it, guys.
No, if anyone wants to hit us up with hospitality for Wembley,
we've got the Rinse FC.
We'll get you some content.
Box at Wembley, you know. Please supply us.
No, honestly,
please give us tickets. Thank you. No, but okay. So Reshma Chowdhury had so much to say about the visibility in the women's game and how it's grown. And she just had so much to say. And there's a lot to take from it. So I guess we're going to hear from her next.
How do you feel about the improved and increased level of eyes that are going to be on this tournament, especially because it's a home Euros?
It's brilliant. It's what you want. You know, it means everything, because when you look back to 2009, to where we are now, and how many people were even interested in women's football, how many people would even want to talk about women's football, how many people are comfortable with the fact that women's football is out there, you know, with that spotlight that's on it. It's changed dramatically. The entire landscape has changed dramatically for the better. And I think, you know, women footballers are professionals. They deserve their spotlight. They deserve to be where they are. They own that spot, and it's about time the light was on them. And I think the more eyes, the better, and that's what they deserve, and that's what we need.
And for you, as someone that's working very much in-
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In this space, how have you found that other people around, like players, for example, have dealt with the pressure of like increased visibility?
I think everyone's stepped up to the plate.
Yeah.
I think it's what we all want. So if you're a broadcaster, you want to know that you're working on a brilliant product.
Yeah.
If you're a player, you want to know that you're working in a top league or at the highest level that you could be playing at. So you will take that, the extra eyes, because that's not what you're doing it for.
Yeah.
You do it for the love of what you do, but that increased visibility is so important. And I think when you're a professional in that sense, and you know, whatever environment you're in, if you want to be the best at what you do, you step up when the opportunities come.
Yeah.
And I think that's what everyone has done, whether it's the BBC, whether it's the pundits, whether it's the players, everyone has stepped up to the mantle, and that's what you want. You couldn't ask for more.
Yeah. And for you, from a broadcasting point of view, what is it going to be like, or what do you feel needs to happen so that the eyes that are present in this women's Euros also continue to be there when the league starts, for example, in September?
I think what we've got from this tournament is we've got the continuation of the WSL on domestic TV, whether it's on the BBC platform or on the Sky platform. And that is in itself is the best thing that could happen, because when you look at the number of people that watched the WSL last season, 10 million viewers watching the WSL, it's crazy. And that's happened in 1 year. So if that can happen in 1 year, then you see the women's Euros, the home Euros, as the next platform, that will only increase the number of eyes on that. You know, we're so sport for choice when it comes to football, especially on a weekend. We've got men's game, we've got the women's game, we've got all sorts of competitions and tournaments and domestic events as well. But knowing that women's football is on terrestrial TV opens up a whole other audience. Even when people channel flick, they will come across a women's game and go, oh,
I can keep this on.
I can see what's happening. Oh, this is competitive. And that's how we all get into sport. That's how I got into sport, watching when I was younger, because it was on domestic TV. And I think the process will be so organic in the way that it has been in the last season with the WSL. I think it will continue. And I think the media has to continue to be supportive. And by all accounts, it looks like it will be. There are going to be a small section of fans who may not like it. Yeah. But, you know, when it comes to a big international tournament, I really think everyone gets on board. And the better England do, the more eyes will stay on the game throughout the tournament. And that will hopefully lead to the next organic process, which will be the continual growth of the game, the continual familiarity with the names that are involved and the players. And that's how it all happens. You connect with the players, you connect with their stories, you connect with the teams. And I really hope it will just be a nice organic process, because I feel like everything's in place now for that to happen, from the broadcast side, from the media side, from the will of the players, and from the growing number of fans as well.
Yeah, and how important do you think it is for the broadcasting side to continue to keep on showing and telling people's stories so that people buy into the players as well as the product that they see?
That's the most important thing, I think. That's what got me into football. I remember watching my first tournament and then thinking, oh, I love that player. Oh, I love that one. And you just invest in them, don't you? You get to know them. You feel like they're one of your own. And that's really how it all happens. And I think I think the BBC do that really, really well. I think all media are starting to do that really, really well. It's about giving people the respect that they deserve. You know, as a professional player, it's important to tell someone's backstory. It's important to know where they've come from and the hurdles that they've overcome to be there, because that creates that respect, that creates that desire to want to connect with that person, whoever that might be. And that could be a little girl who's, you know, five watching football thinking, you know, I want to do this when I grow up. Or it could be an 18-year-old guy going, gosh, she's really cool. I like how far she's come along. Or, you know, a backstory that might be difficult for that person to tell. And then another person can relate because they think, wow, I love that honesty. I love that. That person's human. And that's ultimately what it is, isn't it?
So,
bringing it a bit more upbeat. Mm-hmm. Really simple question. Nothing to really debate about. England's going to win the Euros?
I really think they could. You know, sometimes...
You said could.
No, sometimes, you know, you lie a bit. Like you know when you're a bit biased and you say, oh, yeah. No. Sometimes when you're saying, I think they could, you're actually lying. Like, you don't actually think they can. But in this particular instance, I'm not actually lying. I genuinely think they can win it. Yeah. It's just going to come down to who's going to bottle it the least. Because...
bottle it the least.
No, genuinely. I don't...
I don't think it's anyone's to win.
Facts. People keep talking about England's defence. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. 98% of the teams in the Euros, their defence is not going to be lit.
Like Norway's defence versus England's defence.
That's what I'm saying. People are acting like, England's defence is this and Norway's... No. All our defences are AVG.
No one's safe.
No one's safe. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you've just got to be... Like, people are putting too much emphasis on the defence when the actual battle that needs to happen in order for you to win matches is to have control of the midfield. Yeah. It's not about the defence. It's about having control of the midfield.
Because our midfield is also a little bit...
That was what I was going to. Like, I'm not going to lie. When I was at that Netherlands match, I was seeing some stuff. I was looking at the first half, I was seeing some stuff in it. Like, obviously, the scoreline 5-1, it looked sick. If I didn't watch the match yet, I would have thought, we panned these lot. Like, we finished them. But that first half, Netherlands midfield was finishing England. I kid you not. Like, Netherlands midfield was dooming England And...
And that was our more defensive, solid midfield as well, which that's what blew my mind. I'm like, what do we actually do? Because we were better when we played a more attacking midfield, but
I think that's what we should go for.
We could get overrun if we did that as well.
That's the problem. But I also think, Serena needs to trust that the attacking midfield also will contribute defensively. Because I feel like sometimes, we put the defensive names in there and think, oh, it's a defensive midfield. But that midfield was getting run ragged. So
also just possession is a form of defence. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you have the ball and can keep the ball well, then you don't need to have players in there that can put in a last-ditch tackle.
Precisely.
You just need just some players who look can keep after the ball. Whereas what we did in that Netherlands game was, like, in the first half, it was two very defensive midfielders and then Kirby, who obviously is still getting back to fitness anyway. Yeah. And there wasn't, like, that connection. Link up.
There wasn't.
Like, if you were to play a bit more of a balanced, like, midfield or even a more attacking one with Stanway and, like, a Kirby or a Toon, people who could just, like, play the ball around a bit, you might have a better chance, but you could also get overrun. So
yeah, I think it's a toss up between the two. I think that's something that Serena's going to have to experiment with throughout the competition. But also just like, do you know what I mean? Like, the players need to take responsibility for their defensive actions on the pitch. Because you're an attacking player, at the end of the day, we all got to chip in.
Like, Daly is a good example of that.
Very good.
Like,
she plays as a striker for club, by the way.
And she's playing left back.
Fullback for England. I'm not gonna lie, they're shagging her.
And I also think she should start.
She definitely,
I think she's
should start.
Doing better than Stokes.
After I saw that first, who did they play in the first friend?
Belgium.
Yeah.
Wait, we're talking about a striker starting for left back.
But she's been playing at left back for England for as long as I've been watching.
Is she even left footed?
No, she actually wants it. She'd
be a right winger. And she's playing full left, not even left wing back, not even in terms of like in a five, in a four, she's playing left back.
She's her club's record goal scorer at club level.
Do you know what? As crazy as that sounds, I love a versatile queen.
Listen, and that's what actually gets her into. That's what gets her into the thing.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? Because she can provide that attacking option, but also like
recovery pace.
Because we place quite far up the pitch. She's the one player who can. She plays almost like Kyle Walker or when he plays for England. It's just like, at least you just clean up. You just clean up, like, and that's what we just need someone to get back. Even if you make a mistake, get back, and then also you can get forward and create something. Whereas Damien Stokes, and I love Damien Stokes, but like her, she's a bit more of just like a solid left back.
Yeah.
So
I don't think she's as adventurous. She was doing some stuff in that garden that was doing my nothing. I'm not gonna lie.
So if she gets forward, she can't really create the chances that Daly can. And then if she's caught out, she isn't getting back to sort it out.
I also think, sometimes Demi Stokes is a bit safe. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And 100%. Sometimes safe is good, when you've got a manager that wants to be reserved. But Serena doesn't really want to be that reserved. So sometimes when Demi Stokes is playing, the forward pass is on and she'll get to the byline. She should either cross the ball in or do a more incisive pass. And then she'll look back and check it back to the person behind her. And I was thinking, why? Mm-hmm. Why?
I don't want to criticise her too much because we once did a bit of content together. Do you know what I mean?
She trained me
in virtual sessions during lockdown. Did a little defensive thing on England YouTube. A little plug.
You were a celebrity like 10 seconds ago.
Someone else is getting virtual sessions of England starting fullback.
Can you imagine?
That wasn't Marvel. Little place in my heart.
That's I love that.
That wasn't Marvel, guys, talking like that. It was me. So just in case. If Marvel wants
to do
more content,
I said Daly should start. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to. So she started it, but I just
finished it.
The good thing about this pod is that everyone has their own opinion. Then
it's not personal.
She's actually still a good player.
And we've got options as well. Like, if we need a. If we're playing a more kind of physical team when we're having to sit back, I put in Stokes. It's great. We've got versatility.
It's not every day go forward, but obviously when we want to, Daly.
Yeah.
Okay, between the two of you, right? Can we do your England starting 11? Your preferred starting 11?
I think we can. Yeah.
We just might have one or two discrepancies. Okay. But I think we can.
Okay. Goalie. Right.
Ups.
Yeah. Ups.
Okay.
Yeah. Based off this season,
easy.
Ups.
Yeah.
But, if you'd asked me before the season, I would have said Roebuck.
To be honest, if either of them start, like,
I think they're
not
all good
that,
keepers.
But I just think for England now has got into a bit of a stride, so why not?
I think the defence is used to playing with her in goal now.
Yeah.
So
sweet. Left back.
I go Daly.
Same.
Centre back. Left centre back.
I'll go Alex Greenwood.
I'd go Greenwood and Bright.
Greenwood and Bright.
Yeah.
Partnership.
Yeah.
Right back.
Bronze.
Yeah, Lucy Bronze.
Easy.
Yeah. The defence is easy, I think.
I'm sure Nancy Baker will be happy to hear Lucy Bronze being mentioned. Yeah. Nancy has such an obsession with Lucy Bronze, but they're like boys, so it makes sense. Your midfield, how are we doing? This is a 4-3.
This is where this is the discrepancy starting.
How would you both want to line it up? So let's hear it. Would you want a three in midfield, two midfield pivot? What would you want?
I just realised why you hesitated on the defence now. Because you want to support Williamson.
I don't know whether it's Williamson.
So you know Williamson plays centre back for Arsenal.
Okay.
But for England recently, she's been playing centre mid.
And they've even in like the announcement they called her a
midfielder.
Oh, okay. That means she's going to be playing in midfield.
And also she's captain, so she's going to play.
She's going to play definitely. Yeah. But then it's about. Where? Because in that Netherlands game afterwards, she moved back. So like once they made a substitution, she then went into centre back,
which I think is a good option.
Better. I'm not gonna lie. She looked better at centre back than at central mid, personally.
Oh, it's difficult,
but not always.
This sounds hard.
She doesn't always look better at centre back. I normally think she looks a bit better in midfield. Mm. But in that game,
would it be mad though to play Williamson, Walsh and Stanway in a three? Is that two?
No, I think that's the three that's getting chosen. I even think that's the three that she's going to go for.
I think against the better teams, should be.
Yeah.
But like, that's so defensive against like a Northern Ireland. I'm like,
I agree. Yeah, against Northern Ireland, no way. At that point, release all the dragons. use one defensive midfielder and let
just a lone six.
Use one Kira Walsh and then use two. How can you say
release
eight.
The dragons?
No, come on. If we go for that midfield against Northern Ireland, that's a disgrace. Sorry. Yeah. Respectfully to Northern Ireland.
Respectfully.
Yeah.
But okay, so your midfield, is it okay, let's put it as your preferred midfield. So we've spoken about what Serena
against
would probably
who?
Do.
Should we say against a team that is matching us?
Okay, all right, cool. We can do that.
All right, cool.
Yep. So against a team you should beat,
I'd go Walsh, Stanway / Toon, whichever one you want. Yeah, and then Kirby.
Yeah.
Kirby. Yeah.
No, same. But then would you play Williamson centre back instead of?
Yeah, and one of those two at the back is gonna have to take the L.
Yeah.
Because, do you know what I mean? Captain pulls rank.
Leah's got to play. She's got to play.
Captain pulls rank. Fair. That's how it is. So take that up with the minister.
Are you the minister?
No, Serena is.
Are you sure?
Take
up with Serena. Okay, and against a team that, you know, you're kind of matching on levels.
The thing is, I would have said the team that they started against the Netherlands with but it wasn't working. But I don't know if that's just because Kirby isn't up to fitness yet. Mm. Because she wasn't coming back to get the ball enough. Like, she wasn't... None of them were demanding possession.
Fit Kirby?
Yeah, fit Frank Kirby.
What I do know is a fit Frank Kirby will do bloody miracles.
I think I would. I think I would go for Kirby.
Yeah.
Kirby, Walsh, Williamson... But with the option to switch for that other, it's basically like a plan A and a plan B.
Yeah,
and
depending on what the game looks like.
Yeah, and also I think Stanway could stand in for any of those three.
Yeah,
she could play the more attacking role, or like it could be basically one.
She could be a
one
sitting
and two.
Eight or
an
attacking eight. She can pretty much play anywhere midfield.
Also, it's whether you're playing like 2-1 or 1-2.
Two, yeah.
Because Stanway could come on and you play like just a sitting six, and then the two in midfield, like just further up.
Yeah.
Or she could actually play more of a 10 as well, I think.
What all I'm hearing is we got options.
We've got options
within a certain level. Do you get what I mean? Like, I feel like we've got options, yeah, but injuries to one or two were in a chiz because the system in midfield is relying on Walsh playing well. Walsh specifically. Yes. Like, Walsh, she's not getting goals, she's not getting assists, yeah, but she's the tempo setter for the midfield. You see in games that Walsh struggles, the midfield is done for.
Well, even in the first half against Netherlands, she struggled.
I'm not going to lie, that midfield, and that was Williamson and Walsh, and that seemed like the more defensive midfield partnership, but they were getting run ragged. I'm not going to lie, I actually think it's because of the role that Rod was playing in the team. Mm. I feel like there's certain midfielders that midfield can't play against.
Mm.
Because whilst we're saying that Williamson is good in midfield, she hasn't played midfield for club. She hasn't played midfield for ages, other than for England.
Yeah, yeah.
She hasn't played midfield for ages.
Not at this level.
And I feel like against top level midfielders, not good midfielders, top level midfielders, she'll be exposed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think we need to chill a bit on the Williamson in midfield when it comes to top level midfielders.
If you're going to give Serena advice, you'd be like, play Williamson at the back. Just put
in certain games. Like
depends
in
on certain game.
It depends on the game.
Yeah. I think also what she did against Netherlands, where she switched it up second half, put her in centre back. I think
that's why it's so good that we've got. That's why it's good that we've got like, positional versatility. Yeah.
Cool.
And front three, I think we're. Well, actually, no.
Front three, Mike, because you no, yeah. said you've got options. No. Do actually, I need to sit in between you?
Actually, no. Our two wide players we're agreed on, right?
Hemp.
Yeah, Hemp and Mead. And then through the middle. Oh.
No, do you know what it is? I actually agree. Whatever you're going to say, I actually agree with you. But I do think that England owe Ellen White something. That's the truth of it. Like, I don't think Ellen White has had a good season in the league. But you see, sometimes she's done a carry job for them and they've thrown it back in her face. So I'm not going to lie.
I get you.
She's
get
picking you. Up. You know, you got stock in the bank. You got she's cashing in on the checks that she had in her pocket by starting. Mm. And one thing with her, no matter how much she will stink in the season, even if she's going through patches where she's not doing well. Once major competition starts, I don't know what switch goes off in her brain.
I would maybe start her first game.
You see, once she starts for the first, you're not getting rid. So is that
either you bring her in, bro, or you start someone else?
Once she starts,
do you know what? Like, because I was on the same page, I was like,
yeah,
start.
I remember, you were my side. Yeah, now she deserted me.
I was like, start or whatever. But then, like, I've been watching some of the like the friendlies back. I've been watching the ones that she misses it's a lot of chances as well.
Agreed.
Misses crazy good chances. Agreed. And because she hasn't got like the pace that she used to, she tries to go too early now.
And she goes offside a lot.
So many offsides. I feel like it's Lukaku playing for Everton again. Like
offside queen.
So many offsides. So I don't know.
And I do feel like Russo. I'm not in that Netherlands match when Russo came on and Tuni was on. And Russo for the 10 minute, because there was a 10 minute period that Hemp was still on. So at that point, it was Hemp, Mead, Toon, and Russo. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna lie, that is the four ideally that I would love. I wanted to see it at least once, because they are all fluid footballers. Yeah. Like they can pretty much play anywhere. I think they've all spent some time playing in each of the four positions. So from 10 to strike, they've all played it at one point. Yeah. Even Toon started off the season playing false nine.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, everyone was just moving. Mm. Netherlands at that point were really struggling to pick up players because they were thinking, I was just marking Hemp. Why is he now on the right? Like, what is going on? And Russo, like, as a physical being, she just knows how to use her body against defenders. Like, she knows when to lean, when to shoulder feint, everything.
100%.
But sometimes, do you not think she looks a bit shy for England?
Yeah.
I think she looks shy. I think she looks shy still.
The thing is...
What do you mean shy? Like,
because she's not... I'd say she's the third choice striker right now.
Yeah, I think she just doesn't have that same confidence of like when she plays for United. It's very much like I'm one of the main.
People. I'm gonna see the ball. Yeah, they're gonna pass to me. Like it's not like they're purposely not passing to her.
I think
she sometimes when she wants at United where she would shoot from.
Yeah,
she's thinking, I would shoot here normally. But this person's also in a good position and they normally score. Let me pass it.
So
and I'm not saying that's
thinking.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong, but sometimes, it plays against her or it counts against her, when they're looking at the numbers and they're like, she got assists, but she's not got the goals like to match. And then they're looking at Ellen White's numbers and it's like goals.
Mm.
It's kind of hard for like her to stake a claim, but I personally would. It looked really fluid when she was on.
So,
but I think it's just like, going back to Ellen White. I think it's just a problem of. I think what she brought before was goals, right? Like regardless, she'd be in the positions, tap it in. But now, and that if she's scoring goals, then the offsides don't matter, the missed chances don't matter. If you're scoring the goals, no problem. But if she doesn't do that,
it's headache.
Then actually, what is she bringing different to just being that centre forward who draws people out? So that the wingers can come in because Beth England can play that role, Russo can play that role,
facts.
Other players can play that role, and they're also not causing the offsides and as many missed chances.
And they could link up.
Yeah, so that's where my head's at because I just think if it depends on if she starts getting the goals from the offset. If she doesn't, then I think actually she's maybe more detrimental to the team than she is.
I think so.
A bonus. But
she's going to score against Austria. It's, that's where it's peak.
Yeah. It's all, but
she's
going to
score in the first game.
It's then. Also Ellen White. So I'm like, listen, if she's turning up scoring goals and just if she does her Ellen White at big tournaments.
Yeah. Her usual.
If she does that usual thing, then cool. I've got nothing against her. And I think she could do amazingly. But I just think that if she's actually going to cause more problems, then you might as well play her Beth England or Russo and try something
Russo,
different.
Man.
Would you both put Ellen White for your top goal scorer?
No. For the competition?
For competition.
No.
Well, I think she'll be up there though. Yeah. I think if she starts scoring in the group, no offense, by the way, but when if she collects a couple goals against Northern Ireland, you have to pick and choose the games.
Yeah, but Hegerberg is playing against Northern Ireland.
yeah. No, but it's really sad for Northern Ireland, to be honest, that they got... I agree, because Hegerberg is going to bag a lot of goals. But sometimes, yeah, Hegerberg just decides that she wants to be a playmaker.
She doesn't really care.
You know, sometimes she's not really fast. It's just because there's no doubt about her ability.
Yeah.
She's not got to score goals
to prove
that she's good.
Yeah.
So sometimes she's playing the game and she's like, maybe
I'll just... Even in the Champions League final, she was just like...
I'm chill, man.
Chilling.
She's still bagged.
Yeah, I'm still going to get a goal in it just for fun.
You see, that's how I want to be in every aspect of my career. Yeah. Because
it's light. Like, I can still do it if you want me to.
Yeah.
But I don't need to do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes she starts playing like a 10. That's even going to be another problem for England's midfield when she starts dropping in. Because then you're like, what's she doing here? Do you know what I mean? What is she doing
here? Go away, man.
Go away. There's a couple of people that could be up there. And I always feel like there's always one surprise wild card entry for top goal scorer. You know, like a random one. Like, where did that come from?
Mm.
Which could be anybody.
Yeah.
Who would you say it could be, Mother?
I feel Miedema could do well.
I'm trying to remember who our group is.
I'll read out the groups if you need me to.
One thing with Miedema as well, like, when she's playing against a team that is not up to her level, she's on no mercy. She will clap 5 goals. Yeah. You know, like some people, they take 100%. A bit of mercy on the team.
Nah, she
don't give a toss. She's gonna bag 5, and by the time she's bagged 5 against one team,
she won't even need to score
that many more. After that, she'll just be doing 1 every now and again, just to top it up.
Then after that, she'll deep, like, okay, I scored 5 now.
Let me be topping up. Yeah.
So group A is Austria, England, Northern Ireland, Norway, as we know. Group B, Denmark, Finland, Germany, Spain. Group C, it's peak
for Denmark.
Group C, you say it's peak for Denmark.
It is.
You never know, but Group C, Netherlands, Portugal, Sweden, Switzerland. Group D, Belgium, France, Iceland, Italy.
I'm thinking about that Netherlands group. Say it again, sorry. Portugal.
Portugal, Sweden, Switzerland.
She's going to clap goals against Portugal. Yeah. They better even start crying now, to be honest. She ain't going to be back in them again. It's not Sweden that she's going to be back in them again. No. She has to stock up. You need to stock up some goals sometimes. It's like how Harry Kane was using North Macedonia and then, man. You have to stack goals sometimes.
Switzerland as well, like.
Switzerland. NGO.
Yeah.
Big up Leo Volti though. She's good.
Yeah.
They've got some good players.
They've got some good players, don't get me wrong, but I'm like Miedema.
Yeah. So would you put her for your top goal scorer?
I think she could be up there, easily. It just depends on how well they do in the rest of the competition as well.
Yeah, and it depends what sort of forward she wants to be.
Yeah, because she's one. She'll do a Harry Kane. Like,
she'll get top assists.
I love that.
Watch Miedema get top assists in that.
Top assists, top goals.
She could.
Possible.
Yeah. It's very possible.
Yeah.
So, top goal scorer for England specifically then?
Just depends on if.
I want to see if any
I'll,
of you.
I'll say Mead. I'll say Mead.
Beth Mead?
I think Mead as well, actually.
It's so funny.
But it could be White.
It could be White and it could be him. Because the only reason I'm saying hemp, even though before this season, but by the way, she hadn't scored a goal for England.
But
she has the one thing, that defenders internationally hate, and it's pace. They all just get... Like, a lot of the defenders are not quick. So that's how she... That is why she's such a threat, because a lot of them aren't quick, and she's very quick. So it could be her, who knows? Yeah. But she's selfless, though. When you're selfless like that, you don't really bag as many goals.
I know a lot about selfless players, but we won't be talking about men's football.
I thought you were going to say, I'm not about being selfless. I was about to say, all right then.
You do. No, I'm joking. I don't. So Alex Scott has told us who she thinks her top goal scorer is going to be. So I guess we're going to hear a little short clip from Alex Scott, who she thinks her top goal scorer of the competition or for England is going to be.
I keep going between Miedemar and Ellen White. I think Ellen White, because she's just proven, she always delivers on the main stage. But Miedemar, we know all know she's sick. I'm going Ellen White.
Going Ellen White, okay, no problem.
So Alex went for Ellen White in the end. Mm-hmm. Not a bad choice. After everything that you've said, it's still possible, but maybe not the most obvious choice, yeah?
Well, I can see why people call it, but I think it's all just going to depend on how Ellen White starts the competition.
Yeah, and how far England go, which is hopefully very far.
Yeah, that's a very important part.
Yeah.
So last question to the both of you. You don't have to say England, right? It's just my personal opinion because I'm a neutral and it's coming home because I want to sing that. I'll be fine, what I really do. Who's going to win the Euros? Marva, I'll start with you.
I would love it if it was England. I think they've got a chance, but I feel like Sweden or Germany could go all the way.
Interesting.
Kind of good choices.
Why too. Sweden and Germany?
Sweden just won the Olympics. Yeah. They.
Seconds.
Oh, sorry. They bought it. But they always they've done well in the last few major tournaments. Yeah. They've just got like a solid squad. Mm-hmm. Their group isn't too difficult to get out of. Yeah, I think they could do it. And then Germany just always have, they've got that history and that legacy. Mm. They've got quite a mix of young players this time, but they just have such a solid system with, and then like Oberdorf, like they've just got some great really players. So, and I just feel like we haven't seen them yet. So I think people are counting them out because at the Arnold Clark Cup, they had like 10 players out of COVID or something like that. So it's hard to know how good they actually are. Mm-hmm. So I think they could surprise some people and go all the way.
Makes sense. What about you, Moya?
I think England could win it. I really do. I think they've got the capabilities to win it. It's just about if they can hold their nerve because the pressure's actually on.
Yeah, it's on.
A lot of them are trying to pass the pressure around right now. Before we had the Netherlands match, so England versus Netherlands, they were saying Netherlands were the favourites for the Euros. And then the match finished and then their manager was like, after this match, I think England are the favourites. No one really wants the pressure of being the favourites. And I think Serena's doing a good job of like managing that right now. She said, we may be the favourite. We may be a favourite, but there's loads of other favourites in the competition.
Yeah.
I think I agree with Marva about Sweden, but I think they've got some suspectness about them. There's something about them, that how they bottled it at the Olympics, they've got that in them.
There's penalties in the end.
Yeah, and there's penalties that they were very much ahead in. The match when I've gone to penalties, first of all, they were ahead in those penalties. I'm pretty sure they had two extra kicks that was like, if they scored one of the two,
they've won. I remember that.
They've won. But Germany was a really good choice. Germany was the one that I was going to say. I think not only do they have the mix of like youth and experience, but they've got the good mix of technical and athletic ability. Mm. I think some of the teams in the Euros right now have one or the other. Like Spain, I think, have the technical. Yeah. They don't really have the athletic. People arguably say that England have the athletic and they don't necessarily have the technical of Spain, for example.
Yeah.
I feel like Germany strikes a good balance between the two. And I also think because their league has been so competitive this season, it definitely adds. I feel like when you've had a competitive league season where players have been used to like each match, each point being important, I think it sets you in good stead for like a major tournament. And obviously France is my team, so I put them as wild cards. I don't necessarily think they're ready to win the Euros, but I think they'd be one to look at because they've got game changers in the forward line, in the midfield and in defence. So that's why I think they need to be taken a bit more seriously. Like they've got people that can definitely change a game. But yeah, we'll see. Depends how the draw falls, I think. But one of those four, including England.
Yeah, this is sounding a little bit spicy.
It's honestly, there are so many teams that can win it. Yeah. Like there are about six teams that if they won it, I'd be like,
makes sense. Because we didn't even name Spain. We didn't say Spain.
I was thinking because I know about the mighty Barcelona. I watched Barcelona clap my team in a Champions League final with it.
That even is the perfect example, that Champions League game. Because the only reason I'm not putting Spain there is because the two of the four main problems that Chelsea faced in that match were from the left and right wing.
Mm.
And those left and right wings don't play for Spain.
Yeah.
Fair.
They don't play for Spain. So, and that is what they're missing.
And they play for Sweden and Norway.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, who knows, man?
Shit.
Who knows? And those clubs are established. Like, those teams have been playing together for a while.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
We'll see. Everyone that Moyo and Shai spoke to from BBC, they all had their own predictions as to who they wanted to win. Don't be surprised that the majority did say England.
Of course,
it is a home match. Laura George went with France, of course, as expected. Here's what each and every one of them had to say about the winners of the Euros 2022.
What do you think, or who do you think is going to win the Euros? That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Are you allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Go for it.
England.
All right.
I want to say, look, the bookies' favourite is Spain.
Yeah.
And I think they've got an incredibly talented team. It's basically, you know, the spine of it is Barcelona.
Yeah.
And they've got Alexia Putellas, they've got Jenny Hermoso, they've got some incredible players.
Yeah.
But I love what Serena Wiegmann has done with this England team. I love the mentality of this team. I think, you know, player for player, we're as good as anyone.
Yeah.
I think in key positions, we've got some major talent.
Yeah.
And with a home Euros, I think that brings it, invites its own pressure, but I think people step up to the pressure. I think actually having eyes on these players throughout the last season and them getting used to that level of pressure, I think puts them in a really good place going into a tournament, because they're not going to be fazed by any negativity or any kind of comments or anything like that. They'll be buoyed by the overwhelming positive feeling that I'm sure there will be from this tournament. So, yeah, England.
Who do you think's going to win the Euros?
England. Look, I don't even have to think about that. I'm England all the way. I think they've got everything, the tools, the players, the talent, that they will hopefully be there at Wembley lifting that trophy.
You heard it here first. Laura said that they win the Euros. Let's
see. I hope they win.
And we're back. Ladies, I think this has been it's been really nice. I feel like I've learned so much today. I'm so, by the way, thank you for allowing me to sit here with you guys. No, I didn't know if I'd be allowed to, you know.
Thank you for allowing us to sit in our usual positions in the middle.
Listen, I said I've got to move. I said I'm going to sit on the side, honestly. But it's been really fun. And I hope as much as I've learned a lot from this talk. Anyone who's watching, who's going to be watching women's football or the women's Euros for the first time, I hope you've learned a lot as well. And yeah, throughout the Euros, these two lovely ladies will be heading up all the women's content that you need. I will be watching from the side. And I swear to you, by the end of the Euros, I will know my shit.
Yeah.
I will know my shit. And then I'm going to come sit here. This is going to be my spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is going to be my spot soon. But yeah, thank you guys. Make sure you follow us, Gold Diggers UK, Gold Diggers UK _ on Instagram, and on YouTube, Gold Diggers UK as per.
Yeah.
But yeah, see you guys later.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.